This is the first of a series of modules covering inheritance tax on an individual's death estate. By way of an introduction, when a taxpayer dies, there are three potential charges to inheritance tax as a result of his death. We have looked at two of these already. If a donor dies, any potentially exempt transfers he has made in the previous 7 years become chargeable. In addition, extra tax may be charged on chargeable lifetime transfers in the 7 years prior to death. In both instances, the tax is payable by the donee, i.e. by the recipient of the pet or by the trustees of the discretionary trust. In this session, we will look at how we calculate inheritance tax on the death estate. By death estate, we mean the net value of all the assets owned by the deceased at the date of death. Net value means the total value of all the assets less any debts or liabilities owed by the individual at the date of death. Tax on the death estate is paid by the executors of the deceased. Executors are also called personal representatives, or PRs. As we will be using the terms executor and personal representative regularly during this session, it is useful to set the scene by looking at how executors are appointed and what their primary duties are. When an individual dies, the assets in his death estate will pass to his executors. The deceased will appoint executors in his will. If an individual dies without a valid will, he is said to have died intestate. In this case, personal representatives will be appointed by the court. These people are called administrators. It is common for a deceased to appoint two executors within his will, although there is no legal reason why less or more executors could not be appointed. The primary duties of an executor fall into four main areas. One of the first duties for the executors is to obtain what we call probate. Probate is essentially the formal process by which the executors obtain legal title to the assets of the deceased. Probate is obtained by application to the probate registry or to the High Court. Once an executor has obtained probate, he is free to deal in the assets of the deceased. Once he has probate, the executor must determine and collect the assets of the deceased. One of the main duties of an executor is to deal with the revenue. First of all, the executor must prepare the income tax return for the period from the 6th of April until the date of death. In doing so, the executor will calculate any income tax or capital gains tax due or repayable for the year of death and previous years. The executor must also prepare an inheritance tax return. This is done using form IHT 400. The IHT 400 will contain details of the net assets of the deceased at the date of death, together with any transfers he had made in the previous 7 years. Having calculated the tax on the death estate, the executors will pay this tax to the HMRC. Finally, an executor will distribute the estate in accordance with the terms of the will, or, if the taxpayer had no will, under the rules of intestacy. Within his will, the donor would have specified who should benefit from his estate, and the executors will distribute his assets to these nominated beneficiaries. For the rest of this session, we shall concentrate on how we calculate the inheritance tax due on the death estate. At the point of death, the deceased is treated as having made a chargeable transfer equal to the net value of all his assets at the date of death. The starting point is therefore to calculate the net value of the estate. We shall look at how we do this in more detail in the next session. The way we calculate IHT on the death estate is very similar to the process we use for calculating death tax on lifetime transfers. As always, we start with the nil band for the year of the transfer. Therefore, for deaths taking place in 2010-11, we use £325,000. As IHT is a cumulative tax, the nil band is reduced by any chargeable transfers in the 7 years prior to death. These chargeable transfers will be gifts to discretionary trusts or potentially exempt transfers in the previous 7 years. Having identified the nil band remaining, we are left with the amount of the death estate that is chargeable to inheritance tax. Tax is then charged at the normal death rate of 40%. When calculating tax on the death estate, it is common to find that pets and CLTs in the 7 year prior to the death have used up the whole of the nil band. On many occasions, therefore, you will find that the whole of the death estate is fully charged at 40%. The inheritance tax is payable by the executors 6 months from the end of the month of death.
Therefore, if an individual died in March 2011, the tax is payable no later than the 30th of September 2011.
However, if the executors file the inheritance tax return before the statutory due date for paying the tax, any IHT becomes payable at the point the return is submitted. Interest will be charged if tax is paid late. However, interest will only start to run 6 months from the end of the month of death. Having arrived at the total value of the deceased estate, we remove any exempt transfers to leave the chargeable death estate. If an individual makes a gift to his spouse on death, this gift is completely exempt.
The spouse exemption is restricted to £55,000 if the recipient spouse is not domiciled in the UK. This exemption is reduced by any lifetime gifts to the non-domiciled spouse.
Gifts to UK charities on death are also completely exempt, as are gifts to political parties, housing associations, or national heritage bodies. The annual exemption of £3,000 applies to lifetime transfers only, and it does not reduce the value of the chargeable death estate. Annual exemptions are only given against what we call inter vivos gifts, i.e. gifts which take place while the donor is still alive. There is no IHT charge on excluded property within the death estate. As we have mentioned before, the most common example of excluded property is non-UK assets owned by an individual who is not domiciled in the UK. The amount of any excluded property should be removed from the chargeable estate before tax is applied.
Where a person dies while on active service as a member of the British Armed Forces, his or her death estate is not charged to IHT. The death will, however, trigger an IHT liability in respect of any PETs or CLTs in the previous 7 years. The pay and tangible movable property of members of overseas armed forces stationed in the UK is also exempt from IHT. This exemption will primarily apply to assets such as furniture and cars, etc., not land or shares, which is in the UK solely by reason of the member's duty here. The exclusion is not available to spouses, civil partners, or other dependents of qualifying persons.
The process of calculating IHT on the death estate is essentially a straightforward one, and we will illustrate it by running through an example.
A taxpayer made a gift to his son in May 2004. After deducting two annual exemptions, the taxpayer has made a PET of £164,000. This will be charged on the donee if he dies within 7 years. The taxpayer died in January 2011. The death estate was valued at £600,000, and in his will, the taxpayer left half of the estate to his wife and the remaining half to his son. Our requirement is to calculate any inheritance tax due on death. The PET of £164,000 becomes chargeable in January 2011. As this is the only lifetime transfer, a full nil band will be available. As the PET is covered by the nil band, no inheritance tax is payable by the donee on the donor's death. The next task is to calculate IHT on the death estate of £600,000. The value of the deceased's assets at death was £600,000. From this we deduct any exempt transfers on death. As half of the estate passes to the wife, the chargeable estate is reduced to £300,000. As the death occurred in January 2011, we use the nil band for 2010-11, which is £325,000. We reduce the nil band by any chargeable transfers which took place in the 7 years prior to death. The PET of £164,000 in May 2004 is a chargeable transfer on death, so this reduces the nil band remaining to £161,000. Out of the chargeable estate of £300,000, £139,000 is taxable. IHT is charged at the death rate of 40%, giving tax of £55,600. This tax is payable by the executors no later than the 31st of July 2011, i.e. 6 months from the end of the month of death. This tax will become due on delivery of the form IHT 400 if this is before the normal due date.
Before we can calculate any inheritance tax due, we must value the estate at the date of death. An individual's estate will comprise all the assets to which he is beneficially entitled at the date of death. There is no concept of an exempt asset for IHT purposes. All assets must be included on the form IHT 400. From the total value of all assets, we deduct any debts or liabilities owed by the deceased at the date of death. The value of an asset at the date of death is taken to be its open market value. Open market value means the price which the assets might reasonably be expected to fetch if sold on the open market at the point of death. There are some specific valuation rules for certain assets, and we shall look at these in the next session. These open market values must be included by the executors on the form IHT 400, and all values are subject to agreement by HMRC's Capital Taxes Division. In particular, valuations of assets such as land and buildings, or shares in unlisted companies, are regularly scrutinised by the Revenue's Specialised Valuation Officers. Finally in this session, let us look at the type of liabilities which may be deducted from the value of the death estate. Debts and liabilities are deductible if their amounts owed by the deceased at the date of death. These could be debts for goods and services received, such as credit card bills or store card bills. Any outstanding loans or mortgages are deductible. If a loan is secured on a particular asset, for example, if a mortgage is secured on a particular property, the liability is specifically deducted from the value of the property in the death estate. For example, the value of a house will be its open market value less any mortgage secured on that property. One of the most common liabilities owed by the deceased at the time of death is income tax. One of the duties of the executor is to prepare the income tax return to the date of death. If the return shows income tax due to the revenue, this tax is treated as a liability for inheritance tax purposes. Similarly, any capital gains tax due on disposals made by the deceased in the tax year of death is also a deductible liability. On the other hand, if the deceased is due a repayment, either of income tax or capital gains tax, this impending tax repayment is treated as an asset of the estate. Reasonable funeral expenses are deductible. These will include the cost of a tombstone or gravestone and mourning wear for the deceased's family. Any costs incurred by the executors in administering the deceased's estate are not deductible expenses in calculating the inheritance tax. Therefore, costs such as probate fees, etc., are not deductible because they are not amounts owed by the deceased at the point of death. The only exception to this rule is that any additional expenses of administering or realising property situated abroad, for example, any costs of obtaining foreign probate, are deductible. However, such foreign probate expenses are only allowable up to a maximum of 5% of the value of the foreign assets.
By way of an example, Spike died in March 2011. Spike was domiciled in the UK, and his only lifetime gift had been a chargeable transfer of £232,000 in 2006.
Spike's death estate was valued at £380,000, being UK assets of £300,000 and a house in India, valued at £80,000. Spike left the whole of his estate to his son. The liabilities at the date of death should now have appeared on your screen. You will see that Spike had income tax and CGT liabilities up to the date of death of £10,000. Funeral expenses were £6,000 and probate costs were £22,000. These probate expenses included additional costs of £4,500 in relation to the house situated in India. Our requirement is to calculate the inheritance tax due as a result of Spike's death. As Spike is domiciled in the UK, all of his worldwide assets are chargeable to inheritance tax. From these gross assets of £380,000, we must deduct any allowable liabilities. The income tax and CGT owed to the revenue at the date of death is an allowable deduction. The funeral expenses of £6,000 are also allowed. The probate costs incurred by the executors are not normally allowed. However, there is an exception for costs of realising property situated abroad. The additional probate costs associated with the house in India are £4,500. These costs are deductible, but the amount we deduct cannot exceed 5% of the value of the foreign property. The house in India was valued at £80,000, so the allowable deduction is restricted to £4,000. The net estate, after liabilities, is £360,000. As Spike left the whole of his estate to his son, there are no exempt transfers, so the £360,000 will be charged to inheritance tax. The nil band at the date of death is £325,000. From this, we deduct any transfers in the 7 years before death.
In 2006, Spike made a chargeable transfer of £232,000. This reduces the nil band remaining to £93,000, leaving a taxable amount of £267,000. This is charged to IHT at 40%, giving tax due of £106,800.